Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area here in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Henry Corbin. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Susan, and hello to you, the listener.
I'm delighted to be co-hosting with you today because you have inside knowledge of our main story for today, Shop Nevada. Since you are a native of Nevada and really know the background of the places we'll be talking about.
Yes, I'm very eager to show you some of my favorite places and tell you some of the stories I know.
But before we get started, I want to announce that we'll end with a theater preview. The directors and producers of Boone Community Theater's production of Godspell, which will be dinner theater for its first two productions on May 29th and 30th. We wanted people who were interested to have a chance to reserve their dinners by the deadline of April 22nd. That's this Friday. I like the way the towns around us have events on different weekends and sometimes different months so they don't conflict. Now, if the weather would cooperate as well.
It looks like the weather is cooperating. If you trust the weather maps, it looks like we'll have rain during the week, but Friday and Saturday will be sunny.
Well, I certainly hope so. There is so much to do outside in Story and Boone counties this weekend. More about that later. But for right now, here's Lynn Scarlett of the Nevada Chamber of Commerce to tell us what's planned for Shop Nevada. You have a lot of events that are not just shops. So let's start, though, with the shops.
Yes, we have 19 businesses that are going to participate in this event. We're going to have our craft shops and rustic shops. They're going to offer make and take crafts that day. But we also have our Hockett Garden Shop that's going to do a fairy garden demonstration. A fairy garden, my understanding, is kind of a miniature garden where you buy small ceramic, maybe gnomes or pieces of your home, and then you build a garden using smaller plants. I've seen them put into a wheelbarrow. I've seen gardens in wagons. So just a smaller version of what would be in your yard. And then you can put it on your deck or on your porch. And our Nevada Hardware Store is going to do a chalkboard paint demonstration. And our lumber yard is going to show people how to make furniture out of pallets. So something a little unique and different. We also have a new business in town. It's Kemp Insurance. And Kelly is planning on participating by sharing information about identity in the event of a lost child or a lost elderly person. She has some information that she wants to share about that through the day. So a lot of variety of things.
You also have events from the Nevada Historical Society?
Yes, our historical sites will be open that day from 10 until 4, and you can go to Evergreen Lane, which is our property on the corner of H and 11th Street, and you can also go to the Dyer Dowell House, which is located just west of the Story County Administration Building, and then the History Center will also be open that day, and they're going to have tours available in costume. So it'll be all part of the day, and our bus that Windsor Manor is providing for us will be going to those three locations, too, to drop people off. Can I talk about our live auction that we're going to have that day?
Oh, please.
Okay. Stuff Enough for Us is probably the first of our rustic shops that started in Nevada. She has about 8,000 square feet filled with merchandise that's for sale, and they're going to have a live auction from 10 until 1, and I have a complete list of those items at the chamber office, and you can also find them by visiting her website. So that'll be another fun and unique way to spend your day if you've never been to an auction or if you just want to see what one is like. That'll be fun.
Well, I would imagine 8,000 square feet just to look around and see what she has there would be pretty interesting.
It's like a trip down memory lane because I don't know if you go to like Brass Armadillo and you walk through and you say, oh, I played with that toy or I have that item. So it's kind of fun to reminisce about the way it was.
Okay. Are there any other things that you would like to mention?
Yes. We have a mattress center in Nevada called Sweet Dreams, and they're going to have a pillow demonstration, and they're going to show people how to pick the correct pillow to sleep with. So that's kind of a different Avenue. And then Edward Jones is also going to be participating, but they haven't finalized what their demonstration will be, but I'm sure it will be something related to IRAs or 401ks, just to help people with their retirement so that they have a better idea. We also have a wonderful Ben Franklin in Nevada, and if you ever want to walk back into your childhood, that would be a great opportunity to visit Ben Franklin. And I don't know if I sent the information to you, Susan, but we have a bus schedule for that day. Windsor Manor, which is an assisted living facility in Nevada, is letting us use their 16-passenger bus for the day. And we have 9 bus stops that we'll have marked, and the bus will take probably 20 to 30-minute intervals. So you have some time to do some shopping at each of the different locations. And that bus schedule, as well as the list of events, will all be included in the tote bag that you get for the registration fee that you pay to be a part of this event. We've also got the Story County Freedom Run that morning. That's registration for that starts at 7 o'clock, and that'll be held out at the Story County Medical Center on the South Campus, which is the new building. And I know we're no longer doing the Freedom Flights, but the dollars that are raised from that run will be used to help make homes accessible for disabled veterans and people like that. So that'll be nice.
Could you tell us the location of that run again?
It will be at the Story County Medical Center. It's right off of South 19th Street on the east side of Nevada. It's the new hospital on the south side.
Sounds like you're really covering Nevada pretty well.
We're trying to. We just want to make it a fun day, and we're going to have drawings for door prizes throughout the day. Everyone gets one ticket for being a part of it. And then we've also got a special movie at 3 o'clock that'll be at the Talent Factory, and it's called Breakfast at Tiffany's. We wanted it to be kind of an old-time movie that would be fun for a lot of people. So we've got that going. And then there's also a bake sale that'll be it's being put on by the Family of Faith Church in Nevada, and that'll be from 9 to 3 at the hardware store in Nevada. So we're getting a lot of different groups involved. The Boy Scouts are going to be at the at Stuff Enough during the auction, and they'll be selling lunch. And our restaurants are going to have specials throughout the day. So we're hoping for a fun day.
Could you tell us a little about the restaurants so people can find them when they're looking around?
Well, we have a new flyer with maps in it, and it lists our local restaurants, and you'll get a copy of that, too, in your bag. And we've also got them scattered throughout town. But we have Quirks, which is located at the corner of I and 6th Street. If you're familiar with Nevada, it's where the old Super Value grocery store was. And then we have Mi Casita, which is located on 6th Street near Lincoln Highway. And then we also have Ali's Pizza, and we've got Starbucks, which is on the east side of Nevada. And, oh, we have the Indian Creek Cafe, which is at the Country Club on the south side of Nevada. So we have several restaurants to choose from. Well, we're just excited to have our first Shop Nevada event, and we're hoping that it's successful and that we get to do it every year. I was working in Ames when they did the Wild Women's Weekend, and that kind of spurred me on to want to try something similar but a little different in Nevada. So we're excited about it. We look forward to everyone coming. If they need more information, I'd love to visit with them, and they can call me at 382-6538, or they can visit our website, nevadaiowa.org.
Thank you, Lynn. We've been talking with Lynn Scarlett from the Nevada Chamber of Commerce. What strikes me as I listen to this again, Henry, is how much organization and work went into this one day. And I wonder, you are somewhat close to the movers and shakers of Nevada, since your father is the vice president of the Nevada Historical Society, and as we'll hear later, has a lot of responsibility with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess they kicked off the 40th anniversary of the Historical Society with a meet and greet for the downtown merchants. So could you tell a little about your perception of those cooperations?
Well, it's in my mind, I think it's a wonderful thing for all these shops and all these the stores of our downtown to be working together, because I feel in a small town setting, It's so very important for them to cooperate together, because you'd expect almost a competitive feel amongst them, because you know they are competitors in certain markets. But it's nice to see them all working together, because I think that it benefits everyone in the long run to have them, instead of going against each other and, you know, being competitors, to see them almost working together for the better of the whole group.
And it must make a difference for them to feel part of a community.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that from several people. I know a few of the store owners, and they've said that too. It's a close feeling of community to have fellow store owners that are all, you know, they're close, they're friends in some cases, and so it's very close.
Well, I think we need to sort of start through the day and visit where we can with there are not very many of the store owners that we could talk to, or none of the store owners. They're pretty busy this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Very busy this week in preparation of the coming Shop Nevada Day, and they're sprucing up and just showing off what they have, and it'll be a wonderful day.
Well, the fun run, or I guess it's the freedom run, excuse me. They have a fun walk for children as part of that. But I will read what I know about that. Unfortunately, Brett Barker, the Story County chair of the Republican Party, is out of town this week, so I'll have to give you their big news when I come to it. The Story County Republicans are once again partnering with Story County Freedom Fly to host the third annual Story County Freedom Run. Among the planned participants is Iowa Auditor Mary Mossman. The event will take place on Saturday, April 23rd, at Story County Medical Center's South Campus in Nevada. You heard about that from Lynn Scarlett. Included in the day's events are a 5K race, a one-mile walk, and a children's fun run. A pancake breakfast will be held from 8 to 10 a.m., All money raised will be directly contributed to Story County Freedom Flight. Story County Freedom Flight has honored Story County veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and Desert Storm for their sacrifices by sending them to Washington, D.C. to visit the memorials from their respective wars in past years. The organization is in its fifth year of operation and was awarded the Governor's Volunteer Recognition Award by Governor Terry Branstad in 2013 for their efforts. Though no further flights are currently planned, they continue to support projects that directly benefit local veterans. And as Lynn Scarlett said, making homes accessible for handicapped veterans. But what Brett Barker would be telling you if he were here is that they have a couple of celebrity guests. This is from their Facebook page, so I know it must be official. The co-grand marshals of the run will be Congressman Steve King and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds. So this is a pretty big event for the Story County Republican Party.
Hopefully people will be energized by it so they can enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes. Well, a lot going on. Since Nevada is your hometown, you are undoubtedly familiar with at least many of the businesses that plan this event. Is there anything more about the business section that you want to talk about before we move on to the Historical Society?
Well, I just think it's wonderful that we have all these new shops coming to town. So many times you see a main street that has kind of lost its life. It's kind of dying in a way. And Nevada is so important to me that I always was worried that would happen. But seeing all this new life that's coming to it and all these new shops, it gives me hope for future.
So then it's actually pulling out of a little downturn. Is that right?
I believe so. All the store owners, they seem to take great pride in what they're doing. And Main Street just yesterday, even I went down there and it was just packed as can be, and there were cars everywhere, and it was a good sight. It's nice to see.
Well, I think that the next person I would like to talk to is your father, Chris Corbin. I'd like to hear a little about the 40th anniversary of the Nevada Historical Society.
Well, this is our 40th year, and it's kind of we're doing it the whole year round. Everything we do is going to be related to our 40th anniversary, whether we have activities either at one of our sites, such as we have the Mix and Mingle coming up, and then we have the Shop Around Nevada coming up the 23rd. We also have our Victorian Tea, which is going to be at our other Dyer Dow House down Main Street. That'll be right around Mother's Day weekend, and it'll deal with the 40th anniversary. But everything we do this year, for any activities we do, we'll put it around the 40th. If you want to go on tours, we have the, it's called the Shop Around Nevada. They got a big thing coming up here on the 23rd of this month. We'll be opening on that Saturday from, I think it's 10 to 4, I believe. And then after that, from Memorial to Labor Day, we're open every Sunday from 2 to 4. Or if you happen to see some guy riding around on a mower, you can stop by and he'll be glad to give you a tour.
Sounds like it must be you.
Yes, it is. Either that or my son. My wife won't give tours if she's riding around, but either one of us will. We'll be happy to.
Well, these are pretty extensive grounds, so I guess you have quite a bit of time on the mower.
Yeah, on an average, it takes us about 8 hours to mow the yard, and then we probably got another 3 to 4 hours just on trimming. We do have another young man who comes over here and gives us a hand every week. He puts in about, I won't give his full name, I'll just call him by Carter, and that's what we call him by. And he's a little eighth grader here at Nevada, and he probably puts anywhere from 2 to 4 hours a week riding lawnmowers. If he'd probably get on and ride the lawnmower every day for 8 hours if you'd let him. We have a total of about 13 acres with a lot of trees. And we do have multiple buildings here with the house. We have the carriage house, which we're standing in right now. We have the one-room schoolhouse, the Haley one-room schoolhouse right behind us here. And then we also have the George Child log cabin. So, and when you come here for the tours, if we have time, we'll take you through all of it.
Well, now, this carriage house is brick, right?
Yes. Yes, it's brick and then has wood flooring in it. There actually is a basement to this. We don't tour the basement. The basement was actually where he used to raise his hogs. And we didn't know that until we got the trap door open one day and we happened to look down there and there's actually some pens down there.
So that he was a farmer?
He actually was the country. There wasn't much out here. So he raised all of his animals out here. There were farm ground. Matter of fact, the farm ground right behind this building, there was farm ground there right up until about the 1970s. They did raise crops there. And on to the east side of this grounds, right along our fence line there, he actually had several corn bins that he would store his corn. And he had that up until probably about the early 70s.
And when did the school and the log cabin?
Both those properties were down at the 4-H grounds. Too much area for us to try to cover. And since we had this extensive ground, we thought that would be best if we could bring everything up here. And they built both this house and this carriage house were built at exactly the same time. And the reason why is that you couldn't have animals without people there to take care of them. So they just built them both at the same time. Now, the oldest building on the ground is actually the workman's shed, which is a little white shed between the two buildings. And it was built for the workmen who came out. What we call the craftsmen would be the guys came out from like Chicago. And they came out here on the Chicago Northwestern and they bugged him up here and they had a workshop in the back of that. And Irene moved out of the house and then her granddaughter moved in for several years with her two children. And then eventually they decided to give it to the Nevada Historical Society. So, and it's been a blessing if you ask me. I mean, there's a lot of work to it, but I love showing it off, is the best way to put it. So,
the other voice that you heard on that tape was Gina McAndrews. We went over to get a tour of Evergreen Lane and the other property. We'll be talking about Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast. And we, for Evergreen Lane, we had another voice that you don't hear on the recording, but it'll be very important, and that is Chris's son, the other one who rides the lawnmower. Or I guess I should say mows the lawn. It's not, you don't quite view it the way Carter does, that it's a fun thing you get to do for a few hours every week. In case you haven't guessed, that mystery voice is Henry Corbin, my co-host, and all that mowing by Chris and Henry Corbin, as well as by Carter, is volunteer. The Nevada Community Historical Society can't afford a groundskeeper, and like so many community organizations throughout Iowa, it depends on dedicated volunteers. The work ethic, combined with a genuine love of the local communities, is one of Iowa's real hidden treasures. But you also do often give the tours of the farm equipment, and I thought it would be better to do that live because when I listen to it, it's very difficult to picture that. The most interesting, I guess, significant piece is the, you name it.
Oh, it's a hauling and scarifier. And most people, when they hear that, they think it's something to do with a Halloween or something that scares you. But it's actually a machine that was created right here at Iowa State. It's meant for seeds in a way, like clover or small plants like that. And it was designed by a professor here at Iowa State. And essentially what it does is they found that these seeds of a clover had such a low percentage when you'd plant them, like I think they said 4 out of 100 seeds would grow. And so he created a process where they take the seed and essentially it's run over like a sandpaper almost, and it just scrapes the outside of it just enough so it can absorb moisture better. And a few years ago, we were fortunate enough to have a example donated to the Historical Society. It was actually built in Nevada, and the professor that created it never fully patented the idea. He wanted it so everyone could create this, and he would send plans to farmers so they could build their own. So we have an example of a very large one.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at this machine, you couldn't imagine what its function was. The way you describe it, it sounds like it's a little thing where you got the sandpaper rubbing across the seeds. But this is taller than I am. It's 6 feet tall, I guess. And I never could quite, in spite of the fact that it was described to me, figure out exactly where things came in and where they went out. But it's very impressive early example of extension.
It very much is. And in fact, we talked with the extension office in Nevada a little bit about it, and we've gotten some pamphlets on stuff because we didn't fully understand what it was either. It was delivered one day, and we heard the name, and we looked at it, and it is. It's a very odd-looking piece of machinery, and so we had to look up how it's used exactly, and it's very interesting, though. But
well, a little preview for people who might be going over to Nevada to see this equipment. The carriage house has a couple of carriages. Well, a Studebaker carriage, not a car, a Studebaker carriage, and another smaller one. And then upstairs, and it's a pretty good staircase. It's not terribly steep. It's very sturdy. There are some very interesting small machines that – are you going to be there on Saturday to give the tour to children and so forth?
Yes, I will be there Saturday. The carriage house is mostly the building that I do tours of. I've kind of adopted it. It's an important building to me. I enjoy it. And so I will be there Saturday, and I can hopefully answer any questions and give a good tour of it all.
And the reason I said children, you often have school tours up there, right?
We're very fortunate to have a lot of interest by the teachers to bring classes there. And it's become a very important part in the school system. People come there for prom photos. That's for Nevada. And also in third grade, they'll have a cabin schoolhouse day there. And we try very hard to involve younger children and everything to kind of get them interested in history.
And then the other building where you have the planters. Now that is that also brick? I can't remember.
Yes, it was built at a later date. It's the pig barn on the property. After he moved the pigs out of the basement of the carriage house, I don't know if that was for smell or if it was just from the amount, but he created a pig barn, which is just east of the carriage house. But we keep our implements and kind of other equipment that we might have on the property. We keep it in there.
And the most interesting piece of equipment that you described in detail, and I couldn't figure out how to put that description on the air so anybody could see it, but the thing that impressed me, now this is a horse-drawn planter, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We have a horse-drawn two-row planter that's should be in full functioning order, we hope. We haven't operated it before.
And you have little cans on the front that have the seed in that mm-hmm. go in these furrows that the wheels are making, or the, I don't know, you don't call them wheels, do you?
Mm-hmm. I've always called it an opener, but I'm sure I might be saying the wrong term.
Because it opens up the furrows.
Mm-hmm.
And what impressed me the most was that it had a seat, like a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
So my picture of a man plowing is, you know, standing, walking behind the old John Deere plow with the horses out in front.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just ride on this and the horses will pull it. I presume horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It was originally designed for horses. All the implements that we have in the pig barn were a horse-drawn implement. But I have actually seen it's designed to actually be slightly comfortable, which surprised me because most people don't associate anything like that with comfort. And all these implements have been kind of modified for use by tractors in modern day times or more recent.
So that's something for people to put on their checklist to see. But the other thing that I was eager to see in our preview was the other mansion. And we'll compare them a little bit. When I say the other mansion, these are two large houses built very close to the same time, 1879 for Evergreen Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And 1878 was when the Edwards first started the house that is now the Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast. And I guess in your history of Nevada, it was called the Edwards House, although they only owned it for 2 years. Then they sold it to the Swayzes. And that was where the story picks up, because Wilbur Swayze was a banker, and his wife, according to our guide, Barbara Howard, was not well. But she apparently had enough energy to supervise the building of a house. And so while he was at the bank, she was supervising the house building. And the most spectacular thing about that was that the stairway, which is very unusual and very impressive, it's got stained glass windows you really want to see. She had this torn out four times before it satisfied her. And it's hard to know what it looked like before it was torn out, but certainly she did a good job. There's no doubt that that's a very impressive front entryway.
Oh, it's a very beautiful home.
Yes, and it's interesting how different the houses' histories are and their functions at the time. But one thing they have in common, they were both built by the men who had the money and the reason to build this. I guess in the case of Evergreen Lane, you've already heard that they had to have somebody out there to take care of the animals. Well, if the owner of the farm had to live out there, his wife had to live out there too. So he built a house that she would be satisfied with. That's the picture I got.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, it sounds like Wilbur Swayze wanted his wife, Emma, to be happy. And she was not well enough that she really could stay there. So there's a really interesting commonality between these two couples. And that is that the men worked and earned the money. And the women, for either reasons of comfort or health, didn't want to be there in the wintertime. And so this is a lifestyle that started a long time ago. They were snowbirds. Mm-hmm. They just went south. In the case of the people at Evergreen Lane, they went to Louisiana. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Emma Swayze went to California. And I guess she went to California and didn't come back because eventually mm-hmm. her husband joined her and they sold the house. And now that's the next big difference. Evergreen Lane was a working farm. And in fact, the business was part of the grand house. You walk in the grand entryway and there's a staircase, which I recognize because my grandmother lived in a house of about that vintage. And I know it's a walnut balustrade and it's carved and it goes upstairs and it's quite impressive looking. Mm-hmm. But the hallway goes down. And in the case of Evergreen Lane, it opens into an office. And that was a working office. And when your father showed us this building, he recalled that when he was a little boy, he went with his father, who had some business with Tubby, and he told me the name at the time, and you say you can't remember who Tubby was, but that's who they called the farmer at Evergreen Lane, was mm-hmm. Tubby. And he did his business, and your father sat out in the hall, and there's a nice little place for a chair. So he sat there and waited for his father at Evergreen Lane. And now he gets to live across the street and mow the lawn.
Yeah.
But to get back to Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast, this house is larger than Evergreen Lane and must have been a tremendous drain for the people who bought it. There were some people who raised families there, but they didn't pass it on. There's even one family, the Patterson family, that had a daughter, Neva, who was a famous actress and in movies and probably before most of our listeners remember, although her most famous film, which was An Affair to Remember, was a film that I saw when I was first married. It was as a first-run movie. Anyway, to get back to the house, it bounced around and it was actually threatened to be demolished in the 1930s. And then a family named Davis bought it, but they didn't keep it very long. They sold it to the Pattersons and so on and so forth. But the people who really made it what it is today were Phil and Paula Page. And they fortunately had a business that fit right in. They had a decorating business. And so it's beautifully decorated. Mm-hmm. And when the Morgans bought it, the things you usually would have to do, you know, the cosmetic things had been done. They just had to restore the heating system so the radiators work. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that has good working radiators all over the house. And I grew, again, this I know about radiators, and those are wonderful if they work. And what was the other thing that, oh, the roof. But I have a little clip from Barbara Morgan who told me a lot, but again, it was the tour of the house. And they have a website, which is, will be on our on our website. It's Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast, so you can find it. And then you can get a virtual tour, although on Saturday, if you go for their tour, there's also lunch. So this is can be on your checklist, put it that way. These are very heavy, ornate chairs. Where did you get those?
eBay. The furniture that was in here was really delicate, and I wanted very heavy-duty chairs so people could come in, feel comfortable, sit anywhere, and I don't have to be nervous or worried about the furniture falling apart. So these are replica antiques. But these two pieces are real antiques that I bought at an auction, and I refinished them. And my husband brought this clock from Germany when he was working over there. So it's a clock with an eagle on the top. And it has a lot of ornate carving, and it's still in perfect working condition. We don't have it wound up right now because it chimes really loud, and you can hear it clear upstairs, so we don't have it going. So,
yes.
But it does still work. Yeah, it gets to be a little annoying at night for the guests, so.
Well, that is just a very tiny part of our tour, and without promoting more than is appropriate, I guess you can see on the website, I think, a virtual tour of the rooms, and if you go on Saturday, you get to see the whole house, as well as have lunch. As we move on, I would like to talk to Larry Sloan, the owner of the Talent Factory, about the events that aren't part of the shopping. If you have children who are just a little bored with going to all these stores or looking at, if they aren't interested, maybe they've already seen the old farm equipment. But Larry, are you there?
Yes, Susan, I am.
Well, good to talk to you again.
Good morning.
And it sounds like you have events all day at the Talent Factory. I read someplace about something in the morning.
Yes, we basically we're starting at 9 a.m., and we're going to be showing, different shows all day long. We're going to have, for example, Three Stooges, some Marx Brothers, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, the Ultimate 100 Knockouts. We're going to have some NBA, the NBA's Best Bloopers, Highlights, and Hijinks, and just kind of generally guy stuff while the others are out shopping and running around town.
Oh, so you're thinking about big kids, not little kids. I thought it was like cartoons.
Well, there may be some cartoons, but I'm not sure, you know, if they're going to be for small children. And, of course, they do need to be, if the children are in there, they of course, need to be accompanied by an adult.
Okay. I'm reminded of my childhood where a morning event at a movie theater was just kids. In those days, things were different in a lot of places. But I'm especially interested in the fact that it's guy stuff, because I can just imagine going to that with, I won't say my husband, but some man who really wasn't that interested in going through 19 shops, and wanted something fun to do. And maybe somebody else to hang out with.
Right, right. And, of course, that's what we're there for. We're kind of the boar's nest, the man cave kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what a boar's nest is.
Yeah.
That's an expression I wasn't familiar with. Assuming that maybe there's somebody besides me who doesn't understand a boar's nest, why, you say it's like a man cave?
Yeah, basically it's a hangout for the guys while the wives are shopping, or for women as long as they're interested. It's getting kind of geared towards the guys with, as I say, with the Marx Brothers and Three Stooges and NBA and the UFC and such. Now at 3 o'clock, however, we do have breakfast at Tiffany's.
Well, now that appeals to, I guess, probably all ages.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of a couples type thing. It's a neat, funny movie. And, of course, it has a happy ending. So, yeah, we want to have a little bit of everything for everybody, but we kind of thought we'd give a place for respite for the husbands and boyfriends and significant others that really didn't feel like running around town shopping all day.
Well, once again, I have a personal memory of Breakfast at Tiffany's. When I met my husband, Audrey Hepburn was his favorite actress, and that was his favorite movie. So for people of a certain age, there's a real nostalgia there, and for others, it's still a good movie.
Yeah, it's neat, because we get to introduce a lot of older films and stuff to a whole new generation of people. So it's really kind of bringing back the old classic arts.
Well, that's an interesting difference to what's happening with the other movie theaters in other towns. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated with Story City because they finally went digital, and it's a very big thing for them. But you have made a different choice to make your theater, I should say the Camelot, the theater that you bought and restored, primarily into a live entertainment venue.
Yeah, exactly. The theater was built in the 1920s, and it was built for vaudeville in theater, and a new phenomenon that had come along called photo plays, also better known as movies. And so the theater was built for that, and we thought returning it to its roots and bringing in that live entertainment, again, it's a beautiful old theater, and we tried to keep it as original inside as possible.
Well, I know that you have something in the evening, although I didn't hear about it from Lynn Scarlett, but I know you've got a live show. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we do. Basically, what we've done once a month is we take local talent, people that are very, very talented or funny, and we put together what we call our Talent Factory Regulars cast, and they're the regulars that appear, monthly. And we normally rehearse for 4 weeks prior to the show, and then we put on the show live.
Do you want to name any of the people who will you have the whole crew on the 23rd?
Yes, we will. The originals, the cast members that first came when we first opened, was Jesse Lopez, and Jesse's from Des Moines, a fabulous singer. He kind of specializes in Neil Diamond. Then we've got Carl Winterhalter, whom we affectionately call Crazy Carl Winterhalter, because Carl's he's a laugh a minute, and he's got a great sense of humor. We have Deb Malsom from this area, and she's a great singer, and she's been hugely helpful in helping with the productions. Then, of course, we have Laura Dolly, who has a Ph.D., and Laura sings beautiful old Joan Baez songs and Judy Collins and great songs. And then the Talent Factory's own Tom Richards, and I know you guys are familiar with Tom.
Yeah, he's been on WOI, and I think he's going to be over here live for our fund drive extravaganza in the beginning of May.
Yeah, I highly recommend Tom. He's got a fabulous voice with a lot of character. He plays guitar along with it. He's just a storyteller type thing in music, so he's great. We picked up some newer cast members. We have 18-year-old Charlotte Charlton, and Charlotte is... She's 18 years old. She looks like she's 15, but when she opens her mouth to sing, she sounds 30. She's a fabulous performer. And then Danielle Kraling. Danielle does a lot of Dolly Parton songs. She's got a fabulous range. And, of course, we've got our country guy, Charlie Hernacek. And Charlie's got a great country voice, very pleasant. He's always a big hit. So we've got a lot of really great local talent that we like to highlight at least once a month.
Well, that's that is a real community service, as well as being a lot of fun for the people of Nevada and the surrounding areas, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. We bring in national touring talent. We bring in some of the best talent in the country. We just had Keith Harkin in last Friday. And Keith is the lead soloist for Celtic Thunder. He's the blonde guy that you see in Celtic Thunder. He's got his own career as well, and he just released a new album that went to number one on the world charts, number two in Amazon, and number three, I think, in Barnes & Noble. We've had Louis Anderson, of course, a great comedian in there. Coming up, we've got Billy Dean, country star, a lot of number one hits. Billy's going to be in over... Lincoln Highway Days. We're in talks right now with Piff the Magic Dragon, for those of you that follow Comedy and Illusion, and with Yakov Smirnov. A lot of these guys are from Branson, from Las Vegas. Got a lot of great entertainers coming in.
Well, this
national standing.
Well, sounds like a great lineup, and thank you so much for telling us about it. So we need to move on, Larry, and I really appreciate your being with us.
Susan, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well,
alrighty.
Have a good Saturday.
You too.
Now, we need to move on because I promised that we'd have a little preview of Godspell, and so we have Susan Herrick and Homie Lahoma Simmons here, the director and producer of Godspell and Boone Community Theater.
I've done Boone Community Theater quite a few years. Before that, I studied acting and directing at college. That's what my degrees are in. And then after college, I worked in New York City, was at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and studied at La Mama Theater. And then after that, directed dinner theater in North Carolina for a number of years. And then I came back to Iowa, where I'm from, to raise my kids and got back into the theater back here.
So did you have something to do with choosing Godspell?
Yes, it was my choice. And I have done it before. I've directed it before. I directed it professionally in North Carolina. And then when I came back to Boone Community Theater years ago, we did it here in the 80s, and now we're revisiting it again.
So it must be a play you like.
I love this show.
Homie, you are producing the dinner theater.
I'm producing the dinner theater. That's what I'm doing.
Well, this is the second successive dinner theater that you've had here. Why did you decide to do two in a row?
Well, dinner theater has a special draw. It's a great evening because you have a good dinner, you're relaxed, and then you get to see a show. And what better date night is that?
What about the dinner? I know that a lot of people, that will be one of their questions.
Yes. Well, Di Patrick, she was our caterer and for the last production of Adam and Eve. She did an amazing job, and I snagged her right then, like, would you do Godspell? And she said yes. So we are looking at doing chicken parmesan, Caesar salad, French bread, and her desserts. She hasn't quite decided on desserts yet, but they were delectable and just heavenly. And I'm sure she will have something as a surprise for this one. And I don't even get to know until she actually brings them, so it's kind of a surprise for
me. She never disappoints.
Well, now, some of our listeners may not be able to get tickets for the dinner theater, and I think it's important to say the deadline to purchase dinner theater tickets is the 22nd,
yes,
which is a whole week before the performance.
So get your dinner theater tickets if you want to have a yummy, scrumptious dinner and a show.
The other piece is that on Sunday, May the 1st, as well as Friday the 6th and Saturday the 7th, we will be performing Godspell, but without the dinner, so that people will have an opportunity to see just the show, which is, that's not a consolation prize. It's just a wonderful show, and people will love to see that also. It's just the first two nights are going to be dinner theater, a little different, a little special.
Could you tell us just a little, for those who don't know Godspell at all?
Sure. Godspell is based on the Gospel according to Matthew, but it was written in the 1970s, so it has a much more modern theme to it. There's a lot of music. I think we have 16 or 17 musical numbers in this show, so lots of music, and it takes it from the time that Jesus comes in contact with John the Baptist up through the crucifixion and resurrection. So it covers that whole span of time in a sort of modern, upbeat way. I think people will love the music. I think people will laugh a lot. And if you leave without a tear in your eye, I have failed. It's an emotional story. It's not a new story for a lot of people. So, you know, if people come from the Christian faith to it, they're going to see it one way. If they have no faith whatsoever, they're going to see a show still that has meaningful, deep characters with great music, and anybody's going to love this show. That's my little guarantee to the audience. So.
How many cast members do you have?
We have 10, and we also have then a full band on the band stage. Well, not full band. We have 3 keyboards up there, and drums, and a flautist. Yeah, it's good music. It's great music, and so people will enjoy that part of it. And there's no really age requirement on this thing. My 7-year-old grandson is going to come see it, and my mother, who's going to be 90 next week, is going to see it. So it appeals to all ages. The music is timeless. The characters are fun and funny and very touching. It's just a fun show. And some people who are familiar with, like, the stories of the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son, they're going to see some of that in here, but there's a lot of variety. It'll move fast. You can't believe when you get to the end of the 2 hours that you really have seen 2 hours of show, because it goes so well.
Well, let's go out with Day by Day from Godspell.
Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, Three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day.
That was Godspell, which will be at the Boone Community Theater. And now that we've moved over to Boone County, I'd just like to make one little announcement, because there's also a run for the trees over at the Arboretum this Saturday, also celebrating Arbor Day. And the specifics, it's a 5K run, 1 mile walk, and it's at 8 o'clock. And no pancake breakfast, but following, there will be an Arbor Day celebration. And it sounds, go to their website, which will be on our website, the Iowa Arboretum, and check it out if you live in Boone County and can't make it all the way over to Nevada. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Henry Corbin. We started our show with Lynn Scarlett, director of the Nevada Chamber of Commerce, telling us about Shop Nevada. Other Nevada guests included Chris Corbin and Barbara Morgan, telling us about historic homes.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, KHOIFM.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Richard Morrison. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Day by Day from the CD 2001 National Touring Cast Recording.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.